I tell you what, we had a great time with a bunch of men this weekend. Is there any men still around that, you know, from out of town, but you're still at the men's from the men's conference here? We're glad to have you with us this morning. Amen. Amen. You can give them a hand. That's okay. You know, I tell you what, ladies, that you better make sure next year, whether you're here or you're watching us online, you need to get your husband or your boyfriend, or if they're still your boyfriend next year. You know, well, even you can get them to the men's conference next year anyway. It's always a wonderful time. I tell you what, there is nothing like a bunch of men coming together to learning who they are in Christ Jesus and then going out and changing the world. Because I believe that men need to take their spiritual and physical authority to help change this world. You know, it's been too long that the women have kind of become the spiritual head of the house for whatever reason. I know growing up in my grandfather's church, Assembly of God, Southside Assembly in Garland, Texas, I mean, a lot of times the women would come to church, the guys wouldn't even come. You know, but it's time for us guys to understand our spiritual authority. You know, it's Communion Sunday. I always love Communion Sunday. In fact, I can't think about Communion Sunday without thinking about Easter. You know, because it was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that changed our life. Amen. And I just want to tell you that what I was going to minister on has gone through all kinds of different things, because I was going to minister on this and then minister on that, but I'm ministering on something else. Anyway, because I normally like to have a communion message and talk about the communion. And you know, the communion, you know, there's two things, or we have two elements. We have the blood and we have the broken body. You know, and most of us have got revelation that the blood of Jesus was spilled so that we would be saved and we could live an eternal life. All right? And then a lot of us got the revelation about the broken body, that his body was broken and bruised and battered, and by his stripes you were healed. And those both happened on Calvary, and it was a life-changing experience. But the other thing that also happened is you were given the authority to use his name in whatever situation that you may ever face. And a lot of times we've got a hold of the revelation of the blood and of the broken body, but we forget about the authority and the power that we have in the name of Jesus, the name above any name. You know, I've been going back and listening to, I'll call them the classics, because you know what? It's important to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. It's important to understand our authority. It's important to understand the name of Jesus. You know, and as I go back and listen to my grandfather speak on these subjects, you know, it's like he's speaking to me. And, you know, it is interesting, and I kind of even feel bad a little bit not being so, you know, speaking on some of these subjects as much as I probably should have, because I remember that day in the hospital room, you know, and I promised my grandfather that I would do the best that I could to continue on what God had called him to do. You know, and as I hear him talk in these things, and he keeps talking about how the church needs to understand their spiritual authority, and says, you know, I'm just believing God that before Jesus comes that this church will finally get a hold of it. But it doesn't matter. They can hear it over and over again. It's one thing to hear the word, another thing to act upon the word, being a doer of God's word. And we have to be a doer of God's word, but we can't be a doer unless we hear the word. And I know too many of us, we're just lazy. And we don't read the word for ourselves, or the only time we actually read the word is when somebody reads it for us. In fact, we're so used to people preaching and reading for us that we don't even want to read books anymore. We don't listen to somebody else tell us the book. And then some of us are so lazy that we don't even want to hear the whole book. You can sign up for some kind of thing, and you can get a 300-page book in 15 minutes. Someone tells you what really went on. But, you know, Man, I tell you what, we need to dig down into the Bible and find out, you know, the promises that we have been given. And you know, it's interesting, as he begins to talk, and he talks about, you know, all of these things, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I haven't been talking enough. Maybe I haven't been bold enough. Maybe I haven't been strong enough. Because you know what, until we find out really where we are, I mean, we're not gonna, it's really hard to bring hope, help, and healing to the world if we don't even know Jesus for ourselves. We might know a salvation Jesus. We might know a healing Jesus. But do we know the power behind the name, the authority behind that name? You know, the name that's above every name. And so many of us, we get so caught up in the world that we live in and all the stuff that's going on. And I'm telling you, I get it. I mean, there's not a lot of good stuff going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Not a lot of good stuff going on at your gas pumps right now. You know, not a lot of good stuff going on at your grocery store right now. You know, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says that it doesn't matter how good a preacher I am. It doesn't matter what kind of knowledge I am. If I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's going to change my world. It's going to change your world. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you act. You know, I'm tired of all the Christians talking about all the negativity. It doesn't really matter. I know it's upsetting. I know you don't like it. But you know what? What's more upsetting is we got a lot of people that are still going to hell because they do not know Jesus. We can come and drink and, you know, and eat from the table. But how many other people don't know anything about the table? They don't know a table exists. And they're never going to know a table exists until you get a reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. Then you got to go out to the world. You got to go out and tell somebody. I say it all the time. The quickest way to grow the church is if everyone brought someone next week, we would double in size. I mean, it's well, yeah, but you know, that's really hard. I have to talk to people. You know, maybe that's the thing. We got a generation that knows how to text and know how to send comments online, but they don't know how to talk to anybody. You know, I don't know. Anyway, it's not part of my sermon. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Says this: God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past and to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. All right? Through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. So He purged our sins. And then what did He do next? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know, Jesus was given the highest name of anybody. Now, He inherited His name by being the Son of God. And you know, your name can open, Dad always says, your name can open some doors and close other doors. I mean, it's just that way. But you know what? You can inherit a name but because you grew up in a family. And then you can make a name for yourself. I mean, you know, I could call out all kinds of guys that are, we'd call them, tech millionaires or billionaires, and you wouldn't have never known their name if it wasn't for they created some kind of computer gadget or thing like, you know, like that, and then they become relevant. Do you realize the guy who just won governor of Virginia, Glenn Young something? You know, so I whatever Young say how to say it again. Youngton, whatever, okay. It doesn't really matter what, I mean, that's a weird name, first of all. So I read that one year before the election, they put out a thing, you know, some kind of poll in Virginia, you know, looks like they put out polls, and they found out the guy had 2% name recognition. 2% of all Virginians, according to this poll, knew something about the guy. 2%. But, you know, he, and then the person he was running against, Terry McAuliffe, I think is the name, he was a former governor. And then I think, then he served in the U.S. House, I believe. I might be wrong, but it doesn't matter. The point is, the guy went from 2% name recognition to winning the governor. You know, so he was able to elevate his name recognition. But here's the thing with Jesus, we don't have to elevate any name recognition. It's the name above every name. Now, you know, we like, some people like the name drop or whatever, but it is interesting that if I tell somebody, you know, hey, just tell them my name and you know, they'll let you in. So, you know, admit that's, you know, and usually that happens. But I said, there's a difference between me telling someone to use my name and my kids showing up. Because when my kids show up, they recognize that they're a part of the family. And when my kids walk in, they treat my kids like they treat me. In fact, it was interesting. One of our security guards here, he was new on the thing. And so one of the, you know, young men in the church, he's in the ministry, and he worked for the ministry for a long time, but now he's in Michigan. His name is Jesse. Jesse hung around my kids a lot. And so this security guard just assumed that Jesse was one of my kids. And so he's like, Jesse, one time, because I had told him to do something, he goes, yeah, this guy does whatever, you know, and it doesn't matter. When I walk up, he because he thought he was one of my kids. No, he wasn't one of my physical kids. I mean, probably, you know, I treated him like a son. But you know, it is interesting, because when you see someone that you think is related to somebody else, you treat them differently if they have some kind of name. Here's the thing. You're part of the family. Do you understand, you know, that whole significance of the table right here? You become part of the family. So when you walk, do you realize the devil recognizes that you're part of the family? He knows it. Now, you don't act like you're part of the family sometimes. Maybe you do. Maybe you act like the black sheep of the family or something like that. But we need to act like that we are somebody, because not only are we part of the family, Jesus dwells on the inside of us. We don't even just have the name. So when we walk in, you know, we have privileges. I don't know, American Express used to have some kind of commercial about we have privileges. Well, I tell you what, you have more privileges than American Express whenever you walk around with Jesus Christ. But we haven't been acting like it. I guarantee you, man, the last year and a half, Christians have not been acting like that they have authority. They have not been acting like that they have any kind of privileges. They've been acting like they're scared and they're running from everything, and you know, and everything is terrible. No, the devil's terrible. Everything's not terrible. The devil's terrible. The devil is trying to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. That's what he's trying to do. All right, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, my grandfather said in his book, The Name of Jesus, that once these truths dawn on our hearts, we will become spiritual giants. If you realize the name that you have, and the name that you have been given the authority to use because of this table right here, if you'll realize it, you'll become a spiritual giant. You know, remember back whenever they sent the spies out to go to the promised land, and most of them came back and except for Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them came back and said, man, they're giants in the land. I don't know how we're going to defeat a giant. Here's the thing. If we'll realize our authority, we'll look like giants. The devil will walk up and say, oh, there's giants out there. I can't do anything with those giants. But see, you are a giant and you do not even know. You have no clue what kind of giant authority you have. It's one thing to have authority, another thing to use your authority. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, you know, according to this, Jesus is the name of Jesus is powerful in three worlds. Three worlds: heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now, you know, what we need to understand is that we live on the earth. So that's kind of important. But it says the name of Jesus is good all over the earth. There's nowhere that you're ever going to walk on this earth, nowhere that you cannot use the name of Jesus. Now, it's also better, bigger than anything under the earth. Because, you know, we may not realize it. My grandfather always would say, the spiritual world is more real than the natural world. We just can't see it. There's still demons and wickedness all around about us, trying to attack us. But we have already been given the authority in the name of Jesus. Those devils have to flee. Not that they might, not the, you know, so many people are praying about something whenever they have the authority to say, in the name of Jesus. You know, a lot, I know people that are praying and are fasting to get rid of something that they've already been given the authority to get rid of if they'll just speak it out. But so many of us, we're like, well, I don't know, if we pray hard enough, if we get enough people together. You know, the thing about it is, use your authority. And it's really simple. I mean, sometimes I don't know anything else to say but just Jesus. 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 And I tell you, you know, it says that demons tremble at the mention of that name. I mean, three worlds. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at. Doesn't matter who you're around. Now, you know, we have the right to use that name against our enemies, in our petitions, and in our prayers. Now, when I say against our enemies, you realize the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemies are not physically people. I know that there's some people that you want to call your enemies. But they're not your enemies. They're not physical. Your enemy is demons and devils and things like that that we don't want to talk about because I know it's scary and spooky. We just celebrated what the world calls Halloween. They talk about demons and devils and those kind of things. So, I mean, you know, the spirit world is real. And I tell you what, man, some of these movies are demonic. You know, and they're getting more and more demonic, more and more real. And the thing about it is we have the authority to use the name, and the authority is in the name. In the name. And a lot of us, we just don't realize it. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the buzzword of the last year and a half is COVID-19. COVID-19 is a name. COVID-19 is a virus. COVID-19 has killed people, but Jesus is the name above any name. And you know, if we would speak the real name, any other name wouldn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you, people get some unknown sickness that don't even have a name. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus is greater than all. He's greater than all, greater than anything you'll ever face. It doesn't matter. Throw out whatever you want to throw out. poverty, sickness, death, anything. Jesus is greater than all those things, and you have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. And a lot of us, the reason that we're in the boat we're at, because we don't do what we need to do, even though we need to do it. A lot of people can quote these scriptures, but it's one thing to quote a scripture and another thing to put it into practice for yourself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in all the saints. You know, that's the thing is that, you know, Paul was praying that the church of Ephesus, and we're praying that the church here, you know, in the United States, whether you're here at Rhema, whether you're watching online, just the, you know, the church in general will understand the power and greatness and authority. That the eyes of your eyes, you'll get the knowledge of that power. You need to have that spiritual knowledge. You know, I mean, that knowledge needs to be something you don't have to, you know, a lot of people, what happens is once they read about it, then they walk like they read about it. But you have to know it on the inside before you face something on the outside. You know, that your eyes should be open, because it's all because of the table. It's all because of Jesus. This is a benefit that we have. Anyway, it says, his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. See, Jesus is the head, we're the body. You can't separate the head from the body. Jesus is telling the head, see, the head tells the body what to do. Like I said, if there's an object coming at you, then you're in a split second, you're going to either duck, you're going to catch it, you're going to move out of the way. I mean, you'll do it in a split second, because your head tells the body what to do. Well, but the head, Jesus, is telling the body what to do, and we're not doing it. That's why we're getting hit in the face with all these curveballs. I mean, we're standing there, you know, and there's a guy throwing stuff at us. And you know, in the natural, if someone's throwing a ball at you, I mean, you're going to put your hand up and catch it, or you're going to duck, or you're going to do something. You know, or you see one of those movies where you have 28 guys shooting at you, and you're just going like this, and you know, bullets are like flying all around you. I don't know, man. It's a miracle how these things. I mean, but anyone ever seen one of those movies? I mean, you know, and then the guy pulls out just a little handgun. He goes, and it has 28 bullets in it. I don't know how it is. He shoots all 28 guys, one shot apiece. And these guys are having Uzis, and they're going, and they just go right around them. They're like, you know. But you have to understand, man, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that's what it's like. I don't care who's shooting Uzis. I don't care what's coming at you. I don't care how many fiery darts from the enemy is trying to fly in your face. The name of Jesus is the force field around you. And it might harm somebody else, but it cannot harm you if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you use that name and you use that authority and you speak to that mountain and you speak to that situation. And when those things come at you, you don't have to duck them, but you say, in the name of Jesus, I don't care that fireball has to leave. I don't care whatever's coming at me. It doesn't matter. Send everything you want to, devil, because you have no right. You have no authority. And in the name of Jesus, you have to get out of my face. You have to leave me alone. You have to quit bothering my family. You have to, I'm not asking you to do it. See, many people are saying, Lord, please make the devil, please make the devil leave me alone. Then we got other people saying, Lord, just take me to heaven right now because I just can't deal with it anymore. I mean, I think a lot of Christians are walking like this. Lord, please. I mean, they're like, they don't know what to do. But it's time for us to figure out. It's time. I mean, a lot of you here, you know the scripture. Well, yeah, but I watch the news. Quit watching the news. You know, I re-listened again of The Believer's Authority, where my grandfather talked about, you know, he talked about that there are a lot of preachers of fear. Now he says all the preachers of fear are not necessarily ministers of the gospel. Unfortunately, there are a lot of ministers of the gospel that are preaching fear. All right, but he says we can have fear preached to us, not just by people who are ministers, but to preach us to proclaim. And you know, you can, your news anchor can proclaim fear. I mean, anybody can proclaim fear. Now we live in a TikTok, you know, Instagram, you know, Reels, whatever generation, and they can get on there and proclaim fear. So if watching something produces fear in you, quit watching it. What you should do is throw that away and get a hold of the Word of God and read the Word. And if you watch something that starts putting fear in your life, then as soon as you turn that off, you need to get a hold of the Word. Or you need to, you know, someone says, well, you know, we're gonna be paying $5 a gallon, you know, whatever, in the name of Jesus. We're not. You know, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter if gas goes up to $5 a gallon, then my God shall supply all of my need. He didn't say half of my need. He didn't say part of my need, but he said all of my need. In fact, we serve the pressed down, the shaken together, the running over God, the God that is more than enough, the God that, you know, says exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think. He provides because we expect him to provide. What do you expect? My time is almost out, so I'm skipping down here. All right, Matthew 16:19 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, the reason he can give us that is because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. But here's the thing. You are the binder and you are the loosener. See, many of us, we're waiting for Jesus to bind something so things will happen. No, Jesus is waiting on you to do something. You have to be the one that speaks the word. And if you don't know what the word is, then you need to get a hold of the word so you can speak the word. You have to understand that we have been given that authority and we are the ones. It's you that has to open your mouth. It's you that has to proclaim who you are. It's you that have to speak. You're the one that binds it. Many people, you know, we're praying, Jesus, we do, Jesus, please bind this thing. Please get rid of it. Please, pretty please. No, it says that you have to bind it. And see, a lot of us haven't ever got a hold of it because we're praying that somebody else would do it. Now, Matthew 18, 18 says it this way, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Now, here's the thing. Do you understand whether there's one gathered in my name, he's still in the midst of them? Many people got a hold of the scripture and said, well, I got to find two. I got to find three. I got to have someone to pray with me. No, you know, there are more power in numbers, but you don't have to have numbers to change things. Now, I believe that the reason why we talk about two or three, because see, if it's concerning just me, I can take that authority. I can bind the loose, you know, about me. But if we're trying to change the world, then we need to come together right now. I mean, under me, under him. So we need to come together, and then we can bind and loosen those things together as a corporate body. But I know people that says, well, I got to find somebody else to agree with me. Well, then that makes no sense for John 14. John 14, 13 says, and whatever you ask, it doesn't say you and your buddies and you and your friends. It says, whatever you ask in my name, what name is that? The name of Jesus, that I will pray about doing. No, that I will do. See, many of you think that Jesus is going to pray about whether he's going to do something for you or not. You know, and once he gets the answer, he'll get back with you. No, Jesus says, whatever you ask, but you got to be the asker. You have to be the one. And that's when sometimes you just say, in the name of Jesus, I command this situation to cease to exist any longer. Cease to exist any longer. You know, sometimes we talk about putting the bloodline down around your house. You know, that's a reference to the Passover where you see the blood of Passover you. You know what? You have the blood of Jesus that surrounds you, and there's the devil cannot attack you. All right, it goes on to say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So whatever you ask, and anything you ask. So if you're asking a whatever or asking anything, as long as you're asking the name of Jesus, he will do it. I'll read one more scripture. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus. You know, all throughout the gospel, he's the same Jesus in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and that Jesus has given us his name to use our authority to change our world. And once we get the knowledge of what we have, in fact, there's one more statement that I do want to make, because see, a lot of people are praying that God will give them enough faith. God will give them enough faith to use the name of Jesus. But my grandfather says this, what is mine, I don't need faith to use it. See, a lot of people are waiting for faith to do something that belongs to them. It's like, okay, I have a car. Well, it's actually an SUV. But anyway, guess it's a truck. I have the keys. All right, so it would be weird for me to say, well, if I had to ask you guys, well, can I go out and start my car and take it? Well, no, it's not your car. It's my car. So if it's my car, I can use my car because it belongs to me. But once you learn what you have, you can use it, and you don't have to wait for anybody else to tell you how to use it. Use what you got. And what you have is you have the name of Jesus, that at the mention of that name, demons have to tremble. They have to leave you alone. They have no right. They have no authority. They have no ability. And it's all in the name of Jesus. I have so much more, but I had to skip because it's communion time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room, each and every person that's watching online. And Father God, we just thank you that we'll take a hold of the scriptures that we read today. And I just thank you that during this week, that they'll continue to read those scriptures over and over again and find out who they are in Christ Jesus. Find out that they have the name of Jesus to use to change this world. And Father, we just thank you for it now. But Father God, right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's someone here this morning that says, Craig, I can't use the name of Jesus because I do not know Jesus, but you can know him today. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know who Jesus Christ is. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life, and I want to this morning. I want to have that same power and authority you have. I want to have that boldness that you have, because see, knowing Jesus gives me a boldness, because I know who I am in Christ. If that's you, say, yeah, I've never been saved, and I want to be saved this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Don't be embarrassed. I know it's a big church, and people say, well, I don't want to do that. Hey, it doesn't matter. I want you to change your destiny. I want you to change your life. Or maybe here this morning, you say, Craig, man, I know what it is to be saved, but I kind of turned my back. I walked away. But this morning, I want to rededicate my life to God again. I want to make him the Lord and Savior of my life again. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. We don't want anyone to miss out. Or maybe you're here today, and my grandfather always talked about a no-so experience. You know, there's people who've been coming to church for a long time, but they don't know whether they've ever asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of their life. And so if you don't know, you can know this morning. Amen. Anyone on any of those three invitations, whether you want to be saved the first time, want to rededicate your life to God, or want to have a no-so experience, just lift your hand across this auditorium. Lift your hand. Lift your hand if that's you. If that's you, lift your hand. There's a hand over there. Thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you. Another hand, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I know it's a big church. I know, you know, you say, man, I don't want to walk the aisle. I tell you what, it's a life-changing experience. I mean, you would do anything to change your life. I mean, let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer, or you should have lifted your hand for prayer, I want you to come down here. I want you to come down here. If you lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand, but you didn't, come on down. The altar's open. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Are you coming out for rededication? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, you know what? Jesus is a gift. You know, and here, I'll take the books. If I said I want to give you these books, how would you get the books? You reach out and take them. You can take those. All right. They belong to you. And that's the same way. So what I want you to do is I want you to reach your hands, just both hands toward heaven, and I want you to say, I'm taking my gift. Amen. I'm taking my gift. So I'm going to pray with you right here, and then I'm going to send you to a place, and they're going to pray with you more. They're going to talk about these books and give you some other material. Amen. Amen. It's okay if I put my hand on your head? All right. Father God, we just thank you for this precious lady, Father. Father God, we just thank you right now for saving her, Father, so she can have a no-so experience. Father God, we thank you that she'll know Jesus better than she's ever known him before, Father. Father, we know she's been in church a long time, but we thank you that this morning will be different. This morning will be a change. Father, forgive her from her sins, Father, and we thank you. You put her on a new road, in a new direction, and in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now that we take authority over anything that's trying to hinder or bind her, and we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can you turn right there? There's Greg and Christy. They want to take you. They want to pray with you more. Hallelujah.